going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Timberwolves, Lakers, tomorrow, game 4. The Timberwolves are up 2-1. Chris Hine from the Star Tribune will join us momentarily. A little bit more about the NFL draft and the excess of the 3 days we've seen in Green Bay. And before that, Kansas City, and they take the show on the road. It just goes to show whatever the NFL is selling, people will buy. And it is just insane how the draft has grown from something at Radio City Music Hall where people paid attention to the first round, and then after that it was whatever. Now it is a cottage industry. And in every NFL market, there are people that cover the team year-round, write about the team year-round, speculate, mock drafts, etc. And now this year's draft has been dominated not by who the first-round picks were. The players that are expected to jump in and have an impact immediately. And if they don't, general managers' jobs are on the line, etc. But the fate of Shedeur Sanders, a Colorado quarterback, his dad, head coach at Colorado, Deion Sanders, one of the all-time great all-around athletes we've seen in the modern era. I mean, just absolutely tremendous, has had a very good career at Colorado, and at some point is expected to maybe get a marquee job in college football or most certainly get an opportunity in the NFL. And Shedeur, in college, great, enters a draft, and the conventional wisdom was, oh, this guy's going to be a first-round pick. Well, not so fast. He ends up going on the third day in the fifth round. And, Lindsay, there's been a lot of hand-wringing, what could be going on, and so on and so forth. And you and I talked about it just before we went on the air today. And I think it's a valuable conversation because my opinion is this, that if any one of these 32 clubs saw that he was a transformational talent and could step in and play the most important position in the NFL at a high level, quarterback, he would have got selected. Forget the baggage. Forget the interviews at the combine. Forget the influence of dad and what that might become down the road. They would have taken him. If he had a chance to turn your franchise in need of a quarterback into an instant winner, they probably would have done it.
Yeah, and that's what Shedeur was saying in his limited action at the combine. Remember, he didn't participate in drills. He did not throw for anybody. I think he just did interviews, and even then he was like, well, I don't want to interview with these teams, or maybe I won't take the interview as serious. That was speculated, but he said, I remember him up at the podium, something along the lines of, if you don't want a culture changer, don't draft me. And Clearly, there could be a lot of different things going on. You know, you have Deion's reputation. You have Deion's ability to move through multiple roles in this world. Regardless, like you said, Steve, though, if he were that good, all of that stuff wouldn't have mattered. But he's got a shot. It's a very crowded quarterback room. And he's got Mel Kiper Jr. on his side. That's for darn sure, because I think Mel Kiper Jr. talked the most about him throughout the entire draft. But as you also mentioned, this is just the nonsense season where there's just so many stories. There's so many chatters just to keep you engaged with the product. And so you got to remember, it's going to be a few months before we see any of these guys take meaningful snaps. And by meaningful, I mean preseason. And we know even those are a little bit half-baked.
Yeah. Until they actually start playing real games in the NFL, we have absolutely no idea. And that's why breaking down or draft grades are preposterous. And here we are at the end of May 2025. And I'm not trying to be negative, but the reality is J.J. McCarthy, selected a year ago by the Vikings to be the next quarterback of the team, you know, we got hurt. He has not played one snap in a real NFL game. Now, he could be instantly on the road to Canton, Ohio, and before his career is over, will go down as greatest quarterback in franchise history and surpass Fran Tarkenton. We'll see about that. But he also has a chance to be Christian Ponder. And I think with every one of those picks, you got to keep this in mind. And I'll say one thing. John Randall, undrafted, Texas A&I Kingsville, is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Tom Brady, six-round pick, didn't play a ton at Michigan, is considered the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. So, grain of salt. And Shedeur Sanders goes into Cleveland. Here's a franchise. I think you've got a coach and Greg Stefanski on the hot seat. Who knows? After another bad season, Shedeur Sanders sits on the bench. His dad might be the next coach in Cleveland. It wouldn't shock me one bit. So that's all I got on the draft. If time permits, we'll run down. I know it's the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Cody Lindenberg from the Minnesota Golden Gophers, Anoka High grad selected by the Raiders in the sixth round, a linebacker. He'll get his opportunity to make the Raiders and play in the NFL. It is 5:12 here at News Talk 830 WCCO, and hopefully we get Chris Hine on board to visit with us. And Chris, you're joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Always good to visit with you. And how about those Timberwolves? Played very well at the end of Game 3 and take a 2-1 series lead.
Yeah, it was Anthony Edwards down the stretch. Their clutch offense never really looked better than it did last night. Even Chris Finch said as much last night. I think that was, you know, one of the major things coming into the series was how were the Wolves going to respond in a close game. Games 1 and 2 weren't really close down the stretch for various reasons, but last night it tested them, and Anthony Edwards aced it. He was fantastic in the last 4.5 minutes last night to lead the Wolves to that win.
Nasri's not particularly good earlier in the game from outside, hit some big shots late as well.
Yeah, that was, I think, a big moment in the game. They're up 3, and Ant, you know, kind of drives the right side, gets to the baseline. Lakers have a lot of attention on paid to him, 4 guys kind of looking at him. But Ant didn't force the shot, and he kind of knew he had somebody open on the wing. He said after the game, he didn't know if it was Nas or Dante, but he knew somebody was there. And so he throws the pass out to the wing. Nas catches it, hits a 3. And the Wolves go up 6, and I think at that point, you know, you go up 2 possessions in that game, a little bit of breathing room, a big shot, a big moment in that game for Ant and for Nas.
Yeah, certainly a good win for the Timberwolves as they pull away late. Couple other storylines on the Lakers side. LeBron James, very good last night, but Luka Doncic, apparently battling some sort of illness in the game last night. But beyond that, it was talked about quite a bit going into the series, you know, you've got Doncic and James, but, you know, beyond that, how deep is this Laker team? And maybe that showed a little bit late in the game last night.
It has, and I think that's been the reasons why the Lakers have lost games 1 and 3. They just don't have the depth to overcome if LeBron, Luka, or even Austin Reeves, you know, if they're not all kind of clicking or having a good night, it's really hard for them to overcome kind of what the Wolves are able to throw at them, especially when the Wolves are getting the kind of production they are out of Julius Randle and Jaden McDaniels in complement to Anthony Edwards. The Wolves just have so many kind of different levers they can pull lineup-wise, matching up with the Lakers if they go small. You saw that at the end of the game. You know, Rudy Gobert was not on the floor for the final 4 minutes. Mike Conley, starting point guard, not on the floor for the final 4 minutes. And Chris Finch went with Dante DiVincenzo and Naz Reid to close the game, along with McDaniels, Edwards, and Randle. And, you know, that group closed on a 13-1 run. It just shows the versatility and the depth and that the Wolves have over the Lakers. That was one of the advantages they had coming into the series, and I really think that last stretch, that showed in that moment.
Jaden McDaniels has been outstanding.
Absolutely. It's been a bit of a revelation. You know, he started the year, I think, struggling to find his offensive game. You know, it wasn't always pretty for him at times, especially as the starting lineup was trying to get used to Julius Randle and the spacing that was involved with him and Gobert. But I think one of the silver linings of the season was all the injuries the Wolves had about January and February. You know, Rudy, Julius, Mike, you know, guys were sitting out games in January and February, and that meant that other guys had to step up, whether it be in terms of their minutes or in terms of their role. So Jaden McDaniels on some nights had to be the Wolves' secondary scorer or their main secondary scorer. And he, there were some moments in January and February. I remember a game against Portland in particular where he had 30 points and led the Wolves to a comeback victory in that game. So I think he found his groove offensively during that moment of the season, and he's carried that into this series. He realizes that the Lakers are small, and he said after game one, there are sometimes he's out there on the floor, and he realized that he's the tallest guy out there. He's 6'10". He's lanky. He's not, you know, he's not a center, but he's tall. He's got length, and he's been using that to his advantage, I think, not just on the defensive end of the floor, but on the offensive end of the floor, getting to his spots, hitting shots over people, and even crashing the offensive glass a little bit.
Chris Hine joining us, covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune matinee tomorrow at Target Center. And that will be a refreshing break for Timberwolves fans. A matinee, some late starts already in this series, and that's true for the Wild and the Golden Knights. By the way, they're playing a matinee in St. Paul today. And you brought up size, and Rudy Gobert has not been much of a factor in this series, and I would assume that's just a matchup thing, that he hasn't had a huge role, certainly didn't in Game 3.
No, and it's been a little bit of the matchup. It's been a little bit of how the Lakers are defending with all the bodies that they are committing to the paint right now. It's a little hard for the Wolves to find him on the rolls, on the lobs, and things like that. I think there were some missed opportunities last night. I think there definitely were some moments that the Wolves could have found him for some easy buckets, and they missed him, or they just, I don't know if they didn't want to pass it to him or what have you, but you know, we kind of thought that could be the case coming into the series. You know, what would be Rudy Gobert's role in this? And you know, while it's not, you know, totally gone or diminished, it's maybe less than we had thought, especially when it comes to the offensive end of the floor. The Wolves have talked a big game about trying to get him more involved, but it's just not working out in terms of the numbers and his involvement. But they're still up in the series 2-1 regardless.
Home game tomorrow, and it goes without saying, a big one. You don't want to give Doncic and James and company any momentum. You'd certainly like to go back to L.A. up 3-1 and kind of really put them on the ropes.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what Luka is feeling like. You know, I'm not sure. I haven't seen any updates today if, you know, there's any update on his improvement or what his status may be, whether it's food poisoning or an actual, you know, virus or what have you. But yeah, needless to say, Luka Doncic playing you know, not at 100% is an advantage for the Wolves on both ends of the floor. You could see in the second half, Ant, Jaden, they were making a concerted effort to target him defensively, and they were having success with that. So, you know, depending on his health, we'll see where he's at. But, yeah, you have to think that the Wolves have an advantage, whether even if he plays or not, because I just can't imagine that, you know, whether it be recovery-wise, hydration-wise, nutrition-wise, whatever, like that in the 36 hours that will be between kind of games 3 and 4, that he'll be back to 100% after allegedly he was really sick yesterday.
When you look at this series and the spotlight, and tomorrow's game is on ABC again, it is getting a lot of attention, and that is James. But it's also Anthony Edwards as well. I mean, his star just continues to rise in this league, and his performance so far in this series, I mean, there is no question, you know, Doncic, James, and Edwards are getting top billing, and rightfully so.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what you have to do if you're the NBA to try to keep the game going to a new generation of fans, a younger generation that, you know, is more online than, you know, other generations. And, you know, Anthony Edwards is already huge on the internet and social media. Anytime he, you know, says something funny in a press conference or has a big highlight like dunk he had last night. And this, yeah, these last playoffs, this is how you become the quote unquote face of the league. You know, you're on national television. You know, my mother back in Scranton, Pennsylvania, can watch the games. You know, and right. and learn the ins and it's kind of like that. It's like I talk to other sports writers or other people. It's like how do you know somebody's made it, truly made a certain level of fame, right? Well, we always say it's kind of like when you're you know, boomer mother knows who they are. That's how they made it. And, you know, my job, yeah. With my job, you know, obviously my mother knows who all the Timberwolves players are, but I think for more casual fans, those who don't have this job of following the team, I think, you know, more and more people are starting to learn of all different generations who Anthony Edwards is.
Yeah. Good stuff. By the way, Chris, before we let you go, always appreciate the update. I know you're super busy and travel, et cetera. You have a brand new book on Ant.
Yes, we are accepting pre-orders, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever, independent bookstores. You can look them up and find you know, links to pre-order through your local bookstores as well, if you want to support them as well. Just many ways that you can pre-order the book Ant, coming out June 3rd, a biography of Anthony Edwards, on my social media, Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram. Links are there for you to go and pre-order, and it would be greatly appreciated. I really think, you know, Wolves fans will really appreciate Ant's story, everything that he overcame, and the determination and the people around him that helped get him to the finish line of making it to the NBA, and how he spent his first 4 years with the Wolves.
Always good, Chris. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
There he is, Chris Hine. Once again, that brand new book coming out on Ant and the Lakers and the Timberwolves tomorrow, 2:30 Target Center, downtown Minneapolis. Twins are going to move their game up. They're at 12:30 first pitch. Our coverage begins at 11:30 with Inside Twins, Chris Atterbury, President Derek Falvey, and then the lineup card at high noon. And, oh, by the way, our sports coverage, big Timberwolves guy, Scott Korzenowski. Korzo on a Sunday between 10 and 11:30 tomorrow here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Loons playing well. They got a big one tomorrow. The Frost back at it. All of that coming up. News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins win 5-1. They beat the Angels. Win the series. They'll go for the sweep tomorrow. As we mentioned, a coverage at 11:30 with Inside Twins. They're going to move it up 30 minutes to kind of accommodate Timberwolves fans next door at Target Center in Game 4 with the Lakers starting at 2:30. But a good win. Simeon Woods-Richardson gets the victory. By the way, Wild and Golden Knights tied at 3. They're in period number 3 over in St. Paul. Game 4 of that series, Wild up 2-1. PWHL, they have been idle for a while. They are back at it. The last game for the Frost, a 5-2 win over Toronto at the X on March 30th. They play again tomorrow against New York at 1 o'clock. But so this season finally resuming for the Frost. So a huge day in St. Paul. You got the Wild playoff action today. The Frost back at it tomorrow. And then the Loons have a huge tilt coming up tomorrow with the Vancouver Whitecaps. And they will be at Allianz Field at 2 o'clock. So the Loons have been playing well out of the gate in the Major League Soccer season, but they got a big challenge with the Whitecaps once again, 2 o'clock in Midway. So St. Paul's going to be buzzing. Minneapolis is going to be buzzing. Four professional sports on the docket tomorrow. Two in St. Paul. You got the X, you got Allianz, you've got Target Center and Target Field. That's pretty cool. I mean, that is really impressive. We are very lucky. And I would assume you get a good crowd for the Frost. The Loons sell out. Target Center will be sold out. And hopefully on a Sunday, the Twins get a decent crowd. But, yeah.
Are we the sports mecca, Steve? Is it official? Should we make a sign? Should we get, like, streets renamed? I think we might be the center of the universe right now.
Well, playing pretty well. Green Bay is. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, who are we kidding?
For the last 3 days.
You're so right.
The center of the sports universe is where the NFL draft is in Green Bay. I still cannot get over it. I'm going to pick on the NFL draft. What are these people showing up at Lambeau Field on Thursday night to watch the first round of the draft expect? Because, sure, there's music and there's this and there's some festivities at the beginning. And then it gets pretty dull. I mean, in reality, teams on the clock, Roger Goodell comes out, announces the pick, and it looked like Woodstock.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve, you know better.
It was just like, don't you have anything else to do?
Steve, you know that, and there's no such thing as a dull day with a keg stand starting at 9 a.m., right? Like, there's no such thing. Can you imagine the Applebee's in Green Bay right now? Can you imagine how tired these people are?
And I've been to Lambeau. I love it. It's really, really cool. But come on, folks.
But it's old, right? And it's kind of it's outside of Lambeau. So you're just in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And next to somebody's house.
And is there a movement to bring the NFL draft here at some point? I would assume.
I'm sure. I feel like everybody wants to host that. Could you imagine the tourism dollars? How else does the American economy move these days?
Well, yeah, with the NFL draft really moves the meter.
Yeah.
All right, quick break, 5:32. We still have a ton more to come on the program. We'll tell you about the Viking draft. We'll go outdoors with Steve Kearney before we say goodbye. And also, I have Twins highlight of the week, Twins highlight of the season, in my opinion so far, before we say goodbye at 6 here on News Talk 830-WCCO. I misspoke earlier. Cody Lindenberg from the University of Minnesota, linebacker, drafted in the 7th round with the 6th pick in that round by the Las Vegas Raiders. And another Golden Gopher drafted, and Lindenberg played at Anoka. So he's a Minnesota guy, played at Minnesota, and now has an opportunity with Pete Carroll and the Raiders. And I don't want to do a deep dive into the draft and go over the draft or handout grades or any of that sort of nonsense at this point. But I do want to say one thing, and I don't know how you feel about this, Lindsay, but I think Pete Carroll, and I know Pete's done some things along the way in his career that maybe he's not proud of, particularly in the college game, particularly in L.A. at USC, but he is a good coach. And I have a feeling he has a chance to put the Raiders in the playoffs next year.
My God, Steve!
No, I really do. I'm not.
Oh, my heart.
He is one of these guys who's going to patch together. He's got a quarterback, and he's going to get guys in there, and they are going to challenge. Now, are they going to win the Super Bowl? No. But I think the Raiders are going to have a chance to get into the playoffs. I really do.
Holy
it's
cow.
A year-to-year league, and I think Carroll really knows what he's doing.
Hey, I love how Pete Carroll leads with positivity. He leads with connectedness. I think that's a rarity. Certainly something that's coming more in vogue in the league, as long as you're winning, right? That's kind of been the main talking point around the Miami Dolphins and Mike McDaniel. Now, they haven't been able to proceed through the playoffs, so I don't know if there's going to be a switch back over. But the Raiders are in a constant identity crisis, and Pete Carroll certainly gives them some sort of shell to build in the image of whatever he was doing up in Seattle. And he's doing it with Geno Smith, who he has a lot of time with, and then they get Ashton Jeanty this weekend. I'm not ready to put him into a wild card playoff unless, Steve, you're going to say they're going to take the division. But we'll see. They just need to get the tracks on the track and the wheels are going and hopefully moving in a collective direction and some sort of offensive identity, because a couple of years ago that defense was really good when I was there, and then last year they kind of took a step back. But until you're able to contribute and not be a minus almost every time you're on the field, which that offense has been for the last couple of years, you're just not going to get anywhere. So you're saying that Chip Kelly's offense is going to lead the Raiders back to the promised land. I'm going to hold you to this, Steve. I'm going to hold you to it.
I think they are going to contend for a playoff spot. When we're in December of 2025,
okay,
the Raiders are going to have a chance to get to the postseason. No, they're not going to hoist the Lombardi.
That's where you'll stop. Let me put a scenario in your head here as we kind of look to switch topics, or at least get into a little bit of hockey discussion. What is more likely, that the Raiders make the playoffs or that the Minnesota Wild make the Western Conference Finals?
Oof.
That's two rounds of winning, which they haven't done in 7 years. So I don't know, and it's 3-3 with less than a minute left in the third period, and we all know there's no shootouts in the postseason.
Well, and there's no advantage to get to OT. It's not like, well, we got a point and we're a step closer to getting into the playoffs, because it felt like the Wild were in that mode for the last 2 months where it's just like, if we can just get it to OT and get that point, that's going to help us get to that mid-90s area where you need to get in. Here's what's crazy about the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you and I touched on this, and it's worth bringing it up again, and that is the puck clock, the bounce here, the bounce there.
Mm-hmm.
You can see outstanding, deep, talented teams like the Vegas Golden Knights get bumped in the first round. You think of that Tampa Bay Lightning team that just ran roughshod over the NHL for 82 games and won the president's trophy by a mile and got bounced in the first round.
Yep.
So there is no guarantee that, and that's true really in any league, in any sport, what you did in the regular season, there's no guarantee. But in a hockey, more than anything, for the Wild to get on a run, Gus has just got to play out of his mind.
Which he has so far today. I genuinely think he's made some stops where he's stolen goals that should be behind him. And the Wild, until more recently, was getting outshot almost 2-1. And so he's been on there. We know that you're getting contributions from the Matt Boldys, from the Kaprizovs, from a lot of these young talents who haven't been performing in previous postseason runs, or at least postseason appearances. And so you have this really good concoction of having your best players go, a pretty good goalie, and then they're getting goals in the dirty area. It's all those rebounds, those second, third chances, really tight to the house. Those are the goals, as grimy as they are. That means that you're able to impose your will in the highest danger place in front of the net, and getting a few more of those bounces. And that's the big difference. The swings are very high and they're very low, but they're headed into overtime. And this is a big moment for the Minnesota Wild, because if they're able to get this game, while it doesn't solidify the series, it's going to put some panic in that Vegas Golden Knight organization. I'm telling you, I spent the last 5 years or so there, and they expect things to just kind of, we'll walk our way into the Stanley Cup final, right? We'll just get there. This isn't Dallas from last year, who they lost to in the first round. This is just the Minnesota Wild. And so they got to keep going and keep executing, but depends on how today goes.
Yeah, they go to OT in St. Paul. But I think the Wild have played well, and they have the ingredients, particularly with Kirill Kaprizov and Joel Eriksson Ek, when healthy. They made a huge difference when they returned to the lineup. They've been a big part of what they've done so far in this series, and they get good goaltending. Yeah, they can get on a little bit of a roll. I don't think it's outrageous to say, because once you get in to the Stanley Cup playoffs, you have a chance to get on a run. Any of these clubs, if you're a good enough goaltender to be in the NHL and you get hot, and you get hot for, you know, a stretch of 6-10 games, you can put your team in the conference finals. So yeah, but the Raiders, once again, my take coming out of the NFL draft is Raiders are going to contend for a playoff spot.
My God. My God. You're brimming with confidence because there's so much goodwill in the sports town that is here. And so why wouldn't that travel to a place as football starved as Las Vegas, right? Why not?
Yeah. The Raiders and Pete Carroll, man, I think there's going to be magic in the desert. All right, 13 minutes now in front of six. We'll go outdoors with Steve Kearney. And then we'll squeeze in Twins play of the week, Twins play of the year so far before we say goodbye. By the way, Twins beat the Angels 5-1. They take the series to go for the sweep of the Angels tomorrow here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Certainly stormy the way it looks in these parts on Monday, particularly from the city's south. We'll keep an eye on it here at News Talk 830 WCCO. Right now, time to go outdoors. Steve Kearney joining us. StevekearneyOutdoors.com. Steve, I hope you're doing well, and you're back from the border waters, Big Stone and Traverse. What do you find?
Good afternoon, Steve. It was awesome. Finally, it's kind of turned down a little bit. You know, my first trip there wasn't very good. But early in this week, it was really, really good. So, you know, it's that time of the year, you know, this early, you know, our early season where it was like 54 degrees, 55 degrees, and it was really good. So very impressed. The crappie fishing has been really weird. I don't know what's going on this week. Early in the week, they were biting well in the shallows, and today I actually got skunked, and I'll admit it, for 2 or 3 hours. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. I think the water temperatures have been fluctuating a lot, and it's been kind of cool at night. And so, you know, it just hasn't been very consistent. But the border waters are definitely going. They're done spawning. They're in shallow. And you got to make sure you have a lot of long casts, really long casts, because these fish are up in 2 feet of water, and the water is very clear and very low. So you have to be well away from them. And really, the next probably 2 or 3 weeks will be just outstanding down there.
Steve Kearney joining us. Steve Kearney Outdoors. Steve, we're in that time when people are making their plans for the walleye opener, et cetera. I know it's still a little early, but what are your expectations? I know it's so weather dependent.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. You know, I think we're okay. I think we're like right on schedule. Everything is about normal. The water levels are very low. A lot of the excesses are very low. But I think, you know, water temperature wise, we're in the low 50s. And I think we're going to be fine. We have about 10, 12 days till the opener. And we should be fine. I think the timing is going to be great, especially on the bigger water. I think we're going to be fine. So right now, you know, barring anything weird weather-wise, I think we're fine.
All right. What do you got in the coming week? Where are you going to be?
Well, you know where I got to go. I mean, I got to go back. It's so good.
Okay, all right. Out to the border waters. All right.
Well, you get back there for maybe 1 or 2 times. You know, that's a really great place for the walleye opener, too. You know, it doesn't get a lot of pressure down there, and people, you know, are all over Lakes Country on opener. But not a lot of people down there. So if you want to go down and kind of get away from everybody, I mean, you got 40 miles of river, or actually lake, to work. It was a river, but now it's a lake. But you got Big Stone Traverse, plenty of elbow room, not a lot of people, but a really good option for the opener, and I would highly recommend that.
Well, Steve, always good to visit with you. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Sounds good, Steve. Take care, man.
There he is, Steve Kearney. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. And our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow between 5 and 6. Rob Dreisline from the Outdoor News. A lot of great guests, tons of great information. That is tomorrow between 5 and 6 after the Twins and Angels. The final game of the three-game set, Twins go for the sweep. They won it 5-1 today. Twins got the homestand off to a good start, beating the White Sox 4-2 on Tuesday. And Byron Buxton with our play of the week, and dare I say, play of the year so far for the Twins. And apparently we're having technical difficulties, but Byron Buxton's game-saving catch is just hard to believe, and Buxton had a chance to talk about it.
It was fine. Obviously, to catch the ball and end the game like that just kind of changed the vibe of what's going around, you know. It was fun. I don't think I ended a game with a catch like that, especially, you know, with everything that's going on, us battling, getting through some tough series, just trying to get things to fall for us going here and there, and to be able to have something fall our way, it was fun. I kind of reminisce to, not yesterday, but this past weekend with Michael Harris, like, that's exactly what he did.
That was an absolutely phenomenal catch, and without a doubt, certainly my play of the year.
2-2 pitch. Swung on and lifted in the air, right center field. Buxton racing after it, still racing. Dives forward, and he makes the catch to preserve a 4-2 Twins win. Byron Buxton laid out in right center field, and Buxton's heroics with that platinum glove seal the win.
Yeah, great stuff. 4-2 on Tuesday. We got to run. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown. Big thanks to you for tuning in. Have a great Saturday.